Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up.
You never want to be down 2-0 in a series against anybody, you know, so, you know, we have some things that we need to do better. We look forward to the challenge once again. We know it's a tall challenge for us.
That's Cleveland Cavaliers basketball star LeBron James talking about the tall challenge his club faces as it gets ready to host the Golden State Warriors in Game 3 of the NBA Finals later Wednesday night. The Warriors scored lopsided wins at home in the first two games of the Best of Seven Championship Series. With the series now in Cleveland, Ohio, Cavaliers coach Tyronn Lue says the Cavs must defend better against the excellent long-range shooting of the Warriors.
You know, with this team, you can't relax at all. If you relax, they make you pay. And they made some tough shots, but that's what they do. You know, they make shots behind 3 or 4 feet behind the three-point line, and they're capable of doing that. But we got to do a better job of just staying locked into these guys, being physical, standing on their bodies, and then, you know, we can do a better job with a three-point shot.
The three-point shot is one of the main weapons in the arsenal of Stephen Curry, Golden State's two-time league most valuable player. Curry says he expects the Cavaliers to be fired up playing on their home court, and the first quarter is key in Game 3.
The biggest thing for us is we usually haven't gotten off to a great start in this building. In the first quarter, they come out with a lot of energy and things click for them, and we've usually had to deal with a deficit. Whether we come back or not is another question, but hopefully we can play better in that first quarter, especially to give ourselves a little bit more momentum than we've had in the past here.
In the past two games, Steph Curry and his teammate Kevin Durant have combined to score 131 points for the Warriors. Ahead of Game 3, Curry was asked by a reporter in Cleveland if he and Durant are friends.
I've known him since 2009, basically, so I wouldn't say we're not at each other's house every day. We're not that type of thing, but when you go through these battles and from October till now, I definitely feel like I know him a lot better than I did, and that'll hopefully continue as we hopefully go forward in our careers. But he's a great dude. He has a great sense of humor. I feel like I'm like a dating show right now.
All right, Steph Curry, you're not on a dating show. You're on the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. That's Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors talking about his relationship with teammate Kevin Durant. The Warriors signed Durant as a free agent after last year's NBA Finals, which they lost to the Cavaliers 4-3. And right now in the 2017 NBA Finals, Curry and Durant have been the big stars in the high-powered Golden State offense. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Hello,
Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting spotty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this, it's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hi, my name is Abdul Bilal Hamid. I'm the goalkeeper for DC United. And to any Muslims out there fasting in Ramadan, I want to wish you the best this holy month. I want to wish you a good, safe, easy Ramadan. So stay strong. And inshallah, it will be a quick month for us.
Thank you for that Ramadan message, Bill Hamid. And wishing all our Muslim listeners a good and safe Ramadan. While Bill Hamid has made a couple of international appearances for the U.S. men's national soccer team, the D.C. United goalkeeper was not selected for the USA team that will host Trinidad and Tobago Thursday night in a 2018 World Cup qualifying match. The game will be played at Dick's Sporting Goods Park near Denver, Colorado. It's the home of Major League Soccer's Colorado Rapids Club. Rapids goalkeeper Tim Howard, who has 114 international appearances for the USA, was selected for the World Cup qualifier, and Tim could see action on Thursday night. The Americans will be looking to pick up 3 points and a victory against Trinidad and Tobago as they try to qualify for an 8th consecutive World Cup next year in Russia. After the match Thursday night, the U.S. men's national soccer team will travel to Mexico City to play regional rival Mexico in another 2018 World Cup qualifier on Sunday. The Mexicans, who host Honduras on Thursday night, lead this CONCACAF World Cup qualifying group with 10 points from 4 matches. Costa Rica, which is at home against Panama on Thursday, is next with 7 points, while Panama has 5 points. The USA is in 4th place with 4 points. Honduras also has 4 points, but is lower on the table because of goal difference. And Trinidad and Tobago is at the bottom of this table with 3 points. The top 3 teams in this group will earn automatic tickets to the 2018 World Cup in Russia, and the 4th place team will advance to a 2-leg playoff against an Asian opponent in November. And speaking of World Cups, semifinal action kicks off Thursday at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in South Korea. In the first semifinal, an all-South American affair, Uruguay will go against Venezuela in Daejeon, South Korea. And in the second semifinal, an all-European encounter, Italy will take on England in Jeonju, South Korea. All 4 teams are bidding for their first World Under-20 title. Uruguay has come the closest to lifting the trophy, finishing runner-up in 1997 and 2013. The Italian boys are coming off a 3-2 extra-time victory over Zambia, which reached the quarterfinals for the first time ever. Andrew Kamanga is the president of the Football Association of Zambia. Before the loss to Italy, he told VOA how the junior Chipolopolo of Zambia had excellent preparation for the FIFA Under-20 World Cup in South Korea.
First of all, we built the team from last year. We started preparing the team. last year, and then we participated in a regional tournament called the COSAFA in December in South Africa, which we won. And then beginning of the year, we were going to host the Africa Cup Under-20 in February and March. So we took time to prepare the team by sending them to Spain. We had a couple of training games with the likes of Barcelona, Real Madrid, and a few other Spanish teams. So they came back and played in that tournament, which we won. So we are the current Africa Under-20 champions. After the tournament in March, we started preparing the team for this current World Cup session. And we participated in a four-nation tournament in South Korea. And we came out second, losing out to the host, South Korea. And then we came back and prepared the team again. We had to send the team to Spain for another two-week camp. And then from there, we went straight to South Korea. We've made a bit of history in that it's the first time the country has reached the quarterfinal stage of this particular tournament.
That's Andrew Kamanga, the president of the Football Association of Zambia, and he was talking with VOA from Lusaka, Zambia. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Zambian striker Fashion Sakala, who you might say fashioned himself a very nice FIFA Under-20 World Cup. Sakala scored four goals in South Korea, tying him with four other players for the tournament scoring lead. Now, two of those players, Ricardo Orsolini of Italy and Sergio Cordoba of Venezuela, will see action on Thursday in the semifinals, so they could possibly add to their scoring totals. In more football news, the American business magazine Forbes has released its annual list of the world's most valuable clubs. Manchester United replaced European champions Real Madrid as the most valuable, according to Forbes. Man U was valued at $3.69 billion, an 11% jump compared to last year. Forbes says the increase was testament to the club's powerful brand and marketing acumen. Barcelona was second on the Forbes list with a value of $3.64 billion, while Real Madrid, which held the top spot for the last 4 years, fell to third place with a value of $3.58 billion. Rounding out the top five clubs, according to Forbes, were Bayern Munich at $2.71 billion and Manchester City at $2.08 billion. Overall, six English Premier League clubs featured in the top 10, with Man U and Man City joined by Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, and Tottenham Hotspur.
Music time in Africa. Tune in to your local radio station Fridays at 900 and Saturdays and Sundays at 900, 15, 20 and 2200 Universal Time. That's what's up.
Why? But tell me where you go.
What?
Why do we get them mama shop me land?
Them mama shop you land?
Them mama shop me land.
Voice of America.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague Shaka Sali will be waiting for you later Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. In pro boxing, world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua has been granted an exception to fight Vladimir Klitschko in a rematch. The fight would be for Joshua's three world titles, the IBF belt, the WBA Super Crown, and the IBO belt, and it must take place before December 2nd. There was talk that Anthony Joshua might have to defend his titles against mandatory challenger Kubrat Pulev, but with that exception, that's now on the back burner. However, there's still no official word from Vladimir Klitschko on whether he wants the rematch. Klitschko is supposed to meet with his management team soon to discuss the rematch. Our VOA boxing fans will remember Joshua scored a spectacular 11th round TKO victory against Klitschko on April 29th in front of 90,000 fans at Wembley Stadium in London. In other pro boxing news, Golden Boy Oscar De La Hoya says the Gennady Golovkin Canelo Alvarez middleweight showdown will take place at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas on September 16th. De La Hoya says his Golden Boy Promotions company received some amazing offers to stage the Triple G Canelo bout, including one from Madison Square Garden in New York City. But in De La Hoya's words, ultimately the entertainment factor was key. The Golden Boy says people want to go to parties after the fight. Canelo fought at T-Mobile Arena on May 6th when he beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. in front of a sellout crowd of more than 20,000.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Novak Djokovic packing his bags in Paris, I understand.
Yes, big news this morning, and not just packing his bags, which is a surprise that he was not able to at least get to the semifinals or the finals to try to defend his French Open title that he won last year, but losing in straight sets and losing that last set, love six, to 23-year-old Dominic Thiem of Austria, who's number 7 in the world. Now, this is even more amazing when you think about the fact that Djokovic, last month at the Italian Open, beat Thiem 6-1, 6-love. So, obliterated Thiem last month, and just a month later, look what happens. Djokovic loses to him in straight sets on the red clay. So a lot of concern about what this means for Novak Djokovic. One thing that's for certain, he will drop out from number 2 in the world. He'll be either number 3 or number 4, depending on how well Stan Wawrinka does, who is still in. Djokovic will be dropped out of the top 2 for the first time in 6 years. So that gives you a sense of how dominant he's been in tennis and how surprising this is that he's now dropped out. Lots of concern among fans, some famous fans as well. John McEnroe calling it Tank City, saying it seemed like he tanked the match, like he didn't even want to play in that last set, which is
gave up.
Gave up, basically, yeah. And then Boris Becker, who is Djokovic's old coach, saying he needs to dump his new coach, Andre Agassi. Maybe he's trying to make a pitch for himself to reunite with Novak Djokovic. But, this is not uncommon for tennis players. We saw back in 2013, Roger Federer went through a slump. In 2015, it was Rafael Nadal. And now Novak Djokovic in 2017. The only difference is those other two, Federer and Nadal, have had a resurgence and they've come back from that. The question is, can Novak Djokovic, after the past year or so where he's really struggled, can he come back? And Djokovic even going as far in the press conference to say that he might take a break from tennis. Very interesting stuff from Novak Djokovic. Meanwhile, on the men's side, Rafael Nadal is through thanks to a match retirement from his countryman Pablo Carreño Busto. So Nadal still charging away, looking to capture la decima, the 10th French Open title that he can win.
And you mentioned Andre Agassi, Andrew. Maybe a short coaching tenure for Andre.
Well, there was some talk that Andre Agassi was not there for Djokovic in the second week. I don't know if he had to go somewhere else or if he didn't stick around or something, but they said that might have been part of the issue. So lots of intrigue there on the men's side. And on the women's side as well, two very different semifinal showdowns. You have Simona Halep, who is number 4 in the world, versus Karolina Pliskova, who's number 3 in the world. That's one semifinal. Both of those two, I think, were the top two favorites to win this tournament going in. On the other side, you have Tomea Bozinski, who is number 31 in the world, and Yelena Ostapenko, who's number 47 in the world. So these two, I would venture to say, not many people penciled in to get to the semifinals at Roland Garros.
Not on the tip of my tongue, Andrew.
No, not names that are going to be familiar to our listeners, I imagine. And I'll be honest, until this week, they were not names necessarily familiar to me, certainly Ostapenko in particular. She's kind of the Cinderella story of the women's side. She turns 20 tomorrow, June 8th, and that's the day that she plays in the semifinals, so hoping that she gets a nice birthday gift. And this stat, I think, is amazing. She hasn't won a tour-level title ever, so she could win her first title ever at the French Open. The last player to do that was Gustavo Kuerten on June 8th, 1997. That was the day that Yelena Ostapenko was born. So how interesting is that? That if she could win the French Open, maybe it's some symmetry there. Maybe a new player will be born on the day that she wins the French Open. I don't know. But you got to love tennis Twitter coming up with those fun stats.
What else is trending on this Wednesday, Andrew?
Well, some disturbing news out of Orlando, Florida, specifically with the Orlando City Soccer Club. They're condemning a social media post that targeted a Major League Soccer referee. Last week, Orlando played the Chicago Fire. They played to a nil-nil draw, 0-0 draw. But Orlando was very upset about some of the red cards that they got in that match. So this week, a tweet went out, reportedly from the president of the Orlando Soccer Club fan group, which is called the Ruckus. And it includes that referee's business address and phone number. And the message is, when you have a lot of free time on summer vacation, hashtag unleash the ruckus. Troubling when you get personal information like that involved, when you go after people on a personal level. So Orlando is condemning this. The Major League Soccer and the Referees Association are condemning this. They're going to be investigating this. And the fans are saying there's no place for this in Major League Soccer. But unfortunately, this is something that we see sometimes when people are upset with referees or officials. They'll track down their phone number, their address, those kind of things, and release it to the public. So that tweet has been deleted, and hopefully they'll be getting to the bottom of that.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we talked earlier this week about Cristiano Ronaldo and what a week he had, and a weekend winning in the Champions League, getting on the cover of FIFA 18. Well, you know, there's that ebb and flow between Ronaldo and Messi, and so now we got to talk about Messi because he's making headlines. Lionel Messi, on his way to Australia, he's in Australia now to play with Argentina against Brazil on Friday, and in Melbourne, he exchanged a jersey with rugby player, Australian rugby star Will Guinha. So people joking, could Lionel Messi maybe make a new career of things and start playing rugby, questioning whether, you know, he could do it all. He can play soccer, he can play rugby, he can do everything. So people are very intrigued. A lot of jokes about that. And I don't think he's going to switch sports anytime soon. But this is no joke. Well, Messi is in Australia now. He was in China right before that. And while he was there in China, in Beijing, he announced the world's first Lionel Messi theme park opening in China in 2019. This just goes to show how beloved around the world he is, how much of a draw he is around the world. You're going to be able to go to this theme park, practice soccer, feel like you're playing with Messi, a lot of interactives. Now that we, you know, mentioned this Lionel Messi theme park, how long until Cristiano Ronaldo says, wait a minute, where's my theme park? Where am I getting a theme park? So that was what a lot of fans were talking about, is this back and forth until the two of them just end up ruling the world, because that's really, you know, it's Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo's world, and we just all live in it, I think.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the June 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States has pulled out of the Paris Agreement on climate change. In making the announcement, President Donald Trump said the agreement disadvantages the United States to the exclusive benefit of other countries, leaving American workers and taxpayers to absorb the cost in terms of lost jobs, lower wages, shuttered factories, and vastly diminished economic production. According to the president, the agreement not only subjects American citizens to harsh economic restrictions, it also fails in its environmental mission.
I cannot in good conscience support a deal that punishes the United States, which is what it does. The world's leader in environmental protection, while imposing no meaningful obligations on the world's leading polluters.
Mr. Trump asserted that under the agreement, China will be able to increase emissions for a staggering 13 years, while India has made its participation contingent on receiving billions of dollars in foreign aid from developed countries. He further suggested that while the United States' nationally determined contribution would limit the development of clean coal in the United States, China will be allowed to build hundreds of additional coal plants. In short, said President Trump, the agreement doesn't eliminate coal jobs. It just transfers those jobs out of the United States and ships them to foreign countries. President Trump said that even if the Paris Agreement were fully implemented with complete compliance from all nations, it is estimated it would only produce 0.2 degrees Celsius reduction in global temperature by the year 2100. He added, 14 days of carbon emissions from China alone would wipe out the gains from America's reductions in the year 2030, after we had to spend billions and billions of dollars, lost jobs, closed factories, and suffered much higher energy costs for our businesses and for our homes. President Trump said he is willing to immediately work with U.S. Democratic Party leaders either to renegotiate the terms of U.S. participation in the Paris Agreement or pursue a new deal that protects the environment, our companies, our citizens, and our country. President Trump stated that under his administration, the United States will continue to be the cleanest and most environmentally friendly country on earth. But we are not going to put our businesses out of work, and we're not going to lose our jobs.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, we look at reflections of what most voices on the continent say is the Africa that we need, meaning good governance, rule of law, and social and economic justice for all. That's next week right here on Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time.
With David Bandy.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.